So, true story. A few years ago, I had one of my best friends, Dave, up for a visit to Cambridge. And Dave and I went to secondary school together, loved the same bands, both were good at art and various other subjects and were a little bit competitive, but we got on really well. Anyway, Dave came up to see me and I said, let's go into Cambridge. Let's go and have lunch in Cambridge. Let me show you around. Let me show you the sights. So we go into Cambridge. And we're going across this park on the way into Cambridge. And up ahead, there's a person with a clipboard. And Dave sees her from a mile off, because Dave's like that. And he's like, nuh-uh, no way. Not today. I'm not having any of that nonsense. And so he looks at where he's going and he literally charges. We were like walking together and he clocked this woman and it was it. He was off. He was just storming like that. Straight through the park. Now I am a little bit more nosy. And I thought, perhaps this person isn't trying to sell us something or get us to, you know, donate to something. Perhaps there's something else going on here. So I had a little bit of a look as I was about to wander past, and she came and said, hello, sir. I just wondered whether you would like to try some pizza today. And I said, well, yes. I always like trying pizza. So she said, and it's free. And I was like, sorry, it's free, like this. Yes, we're doing a promotional offer. It was Pizza Express. I'm not ashamed to say which one it was. Pizza Express. And they said, yes, today, just for today, we're offering people a free pizza on this part of the menu. Everything else on the menu you'd have to pay for, but you can have a free pizza on this part of the menu. Wow. I'm like, this day is getting good. Anyway, so I'm salivating as I look over the menu and I'm thinking about which pizza am I going to have? Oh my goodness, there's so much choice. Oh, and I'm like, oh, hang on a minute. Where's Dave? Dave's the other end of the park. I'm like, Dave. And he's just, because he just doesn't want to know. Okay. And I'm like, Dave. And he eventually turns back, free pizza. And then Dave's mood suddenly changed. Free pizza, boom, he was back. And we went and had an amazing pizza. It was very, very nice, I must say. Now, why do I tell you about pizza? Well, you'll find out. This may well be the first time that you've heard someone compare getting a free pizza to the virgin birth. But it's all about grace, undeserved favor. That's the common denominator here. Now, receiving a free pizza is far less life-changing than what Mary received on this day when she was probably going about her usual business, just like Dave and I were on that wonderful, wonderful day. Now, as the angel Gabriel appeared to her out of nowhere and says, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. She was understandably a little shocked and perplexed. Indeed, it says that Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. A bit like my friend Dave, who was skeptical and puzzled, to say the least. Because nothing is truly free, is it? What's the catch? What's really going on here? I mean, it's not every day you get offered a free pizza, is it? And it's not every day you receive a visit from an angel. And so, the angel reassures Mary by saying, "Do not be afraid." A phrase that seems to follow most angelic encounters in the scriptures for obvious reasons, I think. Now, I'm not sure if any of you have been visited by an angel. I'm sure there may be a few of us. Maybe we have and we didn't even know it. But I think if I was visited by Gabriel, I'd be feeling greatly troubled too. I think I'd feel speechless, confused, awestruck, and maybe scared in the presence of an angel warrior. Perhaps my paranoid mind would default to fear as I contemplate, what have I done wrong? Am I in trouble? What's going to happen to me? Perhaps Mary was thinking and feeling these things too, but we'll never know. Not this side of heaven anyway, much as we'd love to. What we do know is that angels are aware that people's default is often one of fear and suspicion when they encounter them or something or someone they don't know. Just like Dave was with the pizza. And as Gabriel meets with Mary, he reassures her that she's not in trouble. Far from it. She is highly favored by God. Gabriel then goes on to explain why she is highly favored. Just like the pizza lady did to me as I inquired into what this announcement of free pizza was really all about. And I can tell you that I did feel highly favored. That pizza was absolutely scrumptious. And I was going to have a quick look to see if Andy Henman was here, because I was going to say that it was highly flavored. Oh, but he's not here, so I'm sorry about that. But Gabriel's explanation to Mary as to why she was highly favored, I've got to be careful now when I say that phrase, was much more intense and involved, to say the least. As it says in the scripture that we heard today, Gabriel says, "You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." Just put yourself in her shoes for a moment. I know for us who are guys, this is going to be a very tricky one for us to do. But just put yourself in her shoes for a moment. Here is most likely a 14-year-old girl, engaged to be married, and here is an angel telling her she's going to have a baby. And not just any baby, but the Son of the Most High, who will reign on the throne. The long-awaited Messiah and King they'd all been waiting for. The one the prophets had spoken about. The one who was going to liberate them from the enemy at last. How do you respond to something like that? I know we get familiar with this story, but my goodness, how do you respond to something like that? There's a few moments, I think, in the Christmas stories where all you can just go is, poof, outside my comfort zone, I don't know how to respond. Ever had those moments? Wow, what do you say to this? Now, depending on who you are, you'd probably respond differently, a bit like Dave and me with the pizza. I remember once going to a theme park, and Mum will probably remember this. It was in Tivoli, I believe, in Denmark, where we've got some family. And we went on this ride called the Golden Tower. Do you remember that? She's nodding. And this Golden Tower, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness, I'm shaking just thinking about it, right? This Golden Tower, I don't know how many feet high it was, but it was high. And it was one of those rides where you sit in the seats and it literally just takes you up. Have you seen them? And then it does this horrible thing at the top where it goes 5, 5, 4, 3, 2, and you're just 1, and you just go whoa all the way down. Now, when we got to the top, before that scary moment where you could see, I'm not even joking, I swear I could see the whole, not just Copenhagen, not just the whole of Copenhagen, the whole of Denmark. It felt the highest ride I'd ever been on. And you know that moment where you're in a situation, you think, why am I here? What am I doing? I can't get out of this. There's only one way, and that is down. And my brother, myself, and my uncle were on this road, on this ride, and we all reacted in different ways. One of us just couldn't say a thing. We were just... One of us just laughed incredibly nervously. And I can't even tell you what the other one said. But we survived. Receiving mind-blowing, life-altering news like Mary received might leave us feeling speechless, laughing nervously, or saying something we might regret later. But Mary's first response is to think very practically, very biologically. And so she says, how will this be? I'm a virgin. I.e., I'm not married yet. I haven't had marital relations yet. Now, she has come to the natural conclusion of her needing to have marital relations with Joe before this wonderful prophetic announcement can come true. It's science, or biology, to be more precise. That's what needs to happen, doesn't it? But then Gabriel goes even further, doesn't he? He essentially says, you're not going to need biology in the traditional sense, so to speak. God will be the Father. He says, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, the first announcement was hard enough to get your head round. But then this announcement was like, what? Hang on a minute, say that again. What? I've got no category to put that one in. And if it were me, apart from the obvious question of how can this be, I would be asking 101 questions, or at least they would be going through my mind. I expect they were with Mary too. Doesn't make sense. How can this even work? I remember when I was a youth worker and one of my young people had loads and loads of questions about the Christian faith. He was so annoying. And he peppered me again and again and again with question after question after question. The boy was relentless. And one of these questions was about the virgin birth. And he says to me, so let me get this right. So Mary had a baby. That's right. But Joseph wasn't the dad. That's right. So... And excuse me if this sounds crass, but he said, so God had sex with Mary. Well, no, he didn't. So, but he's the dad. Yes, he is. And there was a pause, and you could just see the cogs. How does that work? I said, I have no idea. I have literally no idea how that works. I'm still trying to get my head around it. I don't think any of us have fully understood how that one works. But this is what Gabriel says. And he says, whoa, that's a lot to get your head around. I said, I know. I'm with him, aren't you? I mean, it is a lot to get your head around. Our brains can't compute it, And there remains a mystery here, which drives those of us mad who like to have it all explained and neatly ordered. We got any of those in the congregation today or on Zoom? Yeah? There's no box for this one. Hard to understand. But the more we draw close to God, the more mystery there actually is. We can't explain everything. We can't fully understand everything. As it says in Isaiah 55, "My ways are not your ways, says the Lord, nor are your thoughts my thoughts. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." What it comes down to then is trust. Do we believe, and this is what I was saying to the young person, do we believe what God is saying? Do we believe God to be trustworthy? Now, to reassure Mary that he is trustworthy, Gabriel informs her that her relative Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant, despite being really old, or beyond the years of normal conception, which might be a more delicate way of putting that she's over the hill. Adding to it that no word from God will ever fail. In other words, God is trustworthy. And if she doesn't believe it, she can go and see Elizabeth, which in fact she did. His word is true and never fails. We return to Isaiah 55. "As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." God promised Elizabeth and Zechariah a baby, and they are having a baby. Ergo, is anything impossible for God? Ergo, if I'm saying God will be the father of your child, says Gabriel, then it can and will happen. And so Mary responds, not in nervous laughter or disbelief, fight or flight, but she responds in faith. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word be to me as it is. May your word to me be fulfilled." Wow. What faith. What an example to us all. Do you know, I think one of the greatest examples of faith, to be honest. And you know what? She was a teenager. As a side note, that begs the question about how we think about our teenagers. God entrusted his one and only son to a teenager. Just let that marinate for a while. Do we trust our teenagers with much? Do we take their faith seriously? Give them responsibility? I can't think of much more than you can give someone than the responsibility of God's own child. Quite powerful, really, isn't it? And what an example. We were reminded last week, the Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. That's what Mary's doing right here. Powerful, powerful stuff. Now, I think the danger with this story is that because we have heard it so many times before, we get desensitized to it in a spiritual way. We forget how absolutely shocking and radical this is. We lose sometimes that sense of awe and wonder. We forget that this isn't the normal way of things. This was a miracle. And to believe in it requires as much faith and trust as Mary exhibited in the first place. We can't sing, "We believe in the virgin birth," as we did earlier, if we don't believe it happened. If we don't believe God could do this. If we don't think he is trustworthy. Perhaps there is something you are facing at the moment that seems impossible. That seems far too big for you to achieve in your own strength. Perhaps you need to be reminded of the God who can do immeasurably more than all you ask or imagine, whose word never fails. And underlying all of this wonderful story today is God's grace, his undeserved, unexpected favor. I loved receiving that free pizza. I really did. It was so good. It made my day. But if I received a free pizza every time I went out to town, you know, I think I'd become a little bit complacent. It would become less of an unexpected treat and more of an expectation. I probably wouldn't be as joyful and amazed by it as I was the first time round. And I certainly wouldn't be singing and shouting about it either. And I think this is the danger for us when it comes to the Christmas story. Don't let the familiarity of this story make you lose the wonder and the awe of it. How shocking and radical it is. Don't let the familiarity of today's story make you complacent or indifferent to it. Mary receives the gift of Jesus by God's grace, his undeserved, unexpected favor. And though we won't have an angel appearing to us informing us we are going to give birth to a savior, my goodness, we too receive Jesus as a gift. A free, undeserved, unexpected gift. I didn't receive that free pizza because I was good enough or because I earned it. I received it as a gift. Mary didn't instigate or earn the right to be the mother of Jesus. He was given to her as a gift. And we don't deserve to be saved by God through Jesus Christ. It is a gift of grace. As the apostle reminds us in Ephesians chapter 2, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast." This familiar Christmas story should still shock and awe us as we reflect on God's radical, life-changing love offered to each one of us through Jesus Christ. For God so loved us that he gave his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So the question remains, how will you respond to this undeserved, unexpected, life-changing gift? Will you receive him, or will you reject him? And if you do receive Jesus by faith, will you live in the grace in which he was given? Or will you revert to thinking that you can earn this gift of salvation? It is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. So let's make sure we live in the awe and wonder of that afresh this Christmas. We are saved by grace. So let's live by grace. Let's pray. Father God, we just want to stop and say, wow. Thank you. Thank you for your immeasurable love. A love so deep, so wide, so vast, that you would give your one and only Son to us. We thank you for Mary, who said yes to you, despite none of it making any sense to her at the time. But because she said, yes, Lord, your Son came into the world, and we thank you for it. We thank you for Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. We thank you that he is the Savior who saves us from our sins and brings us new life. Father, forgive us when we default back to trying to earn your love for us. When we try and earn our forgiveness, we thank you that all we need to do is come back to you and say sorry and say yes to you, just like Mary did. We thank you for your love. And we pray today you would help us to receive that love afresh in Jesus Christ. We thank you that there is nothing we can do to make you love us more, and there's nothing we can do to make you love us less. Thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.